Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Owen and Baru's Barbecue. Today we are serving up teardrop soup. My name is Matt. Today I'm joined by a bevy of chefs. With me is my co-host Nick.
Hey there.
And we're doing a crossover event, which has already been recorded. But I have screen geeks here with us. So welcome, Jay. Woo! And Casino Skunk, Ralph.
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going?
So we've talked for almost an hour and a half, and I'm not going to, mince words here. But we're gonna serve up what we talked about on Screen Geeks Live. And so when you hear Jay hosting and doing his thing, that's because he was the host, and I stepped aside. I was like, "You're the better chef here. You're the."
I'm not. I pale in comparison to your mastery of a spatula and fork.
Well, without further ado, hello. Thanks for having us. Hey, Nick, you're still muted.
Why'd you say something?
Thanks, Ralph. Appreciate it.
Sure.
So, thanks for having us. It's nice to be on your show. We do listen to it, and unlike Ralph, we do like, and accept the cartoons as part of the canon. We don't just kind of like shove that aside.
I grew up watching the original trilogy. I was born in 77.
I'm older than you.
I know, but from 83 to, let's just say, 97, I knew everything inside and out on three movies. And then, like, all of this new canon and EU stuff, I can't keep track of it. I'm too old. It's hard. I've watched Clone Wars and Rebels and retain, like, little to no information. And I think some of the information I do learn from there or remember is pushing old stuff out. And I don't like it. I don't like it. But I have this, so I'm happy.
You do.
I'm so happy.
So can we just, first let's go to the chat a little bit. Jay Griffiths cannot join us tonight because his girlfriend went into great detail about the things we wouldn't do if I watched the finale without her. I can't watch this.
Wow.
So sorry you cannot be here live with us, Jay, like you usually are, but it's probably the smart move because Colleen, who is in the chat, was kind of ticked because I watched it without her first.
We watched it. So the last three, I think since the Ahsoka episode, me and Stevie have watched The Mandalorian before she goes to work. So we've been watching it at like 5:30 in the morning. It's one of those things where, like, last night I couldn't sleep. I woke up probably at like 4, and all I was thinking is people have either seen Luke Skywalker or or not seen Luke Skywalker, and it was driving me nuts because everyone was saying Sebastian Stan this and Luke Skywalker that, or Ezra, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm laying here in bed and there's people out there who have seen a Star Wars that I haven't seen. And it kept me up. And so as soon as she woke up, I went into the front room and threw on my blanket and just waited. I couldn't. I had to watch it. And then we'll get into what happened later.
Mm-hmm.
I saw if you pop up that second Eddie's message.
This one?
Yeah.
Yep.
Why are you holding back tears, bro? Just let it go. Why are you holding back tears? My only tweet also, because I also don't like going on Twitter until I do my show.
People don't hold back. Like all the spoilers, right. It's just like a floodgate, right?
But even after, between the time I watch the show and the time I do my podcast episode, I don't like to listen to podcasts about the episode.
I never
listen
like to looking you up articles.
But you know what I mean?
No, seriously, like I want to have my own theories and I don't want to be corrupted by like, you know, you talking about samurai swords, you know?
Oh man. Oh, hey, listen, I'm not complaining. I didn't get my Boskin and mini rig. I didn't get that. That's fine.
I'm with you on the mini rigs and you know, maybe season three, but
I will say like as the fight's happening with the spear, Colin's like, he didn't get a samurai sword.
but you know what? The way it kept glowing in the middle, I'm like, okay, cool. It's gonna cut in half and he's gonna have batons. He's gonna be like Daredevil style. But listen, I'm not complaining at all what we got. And I'm not even upset that mini rigs didn't show up because we got something way cooler. But anyway, I was gonna say I did go on Twitter and the only thing I tweeted was that Stevie literally got up and grabbed a box of Kleenex for me. Like I had to be.
I wanted to ask how you were finishing. I meant never mind. That joke came out wrong, and this might be the wrong podcast for it.
Well, but the thing is, so like it's one of those things where I get emotional during movies. I think Jimmy and Jay have talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to hide it and I could not, to the point where she was like, put her hand on my shoulder. Like, listen, this is a huge deal. Cause as lame as this sounds, and with all the EU out there and all the cartoons and all the comics and thing, my favorite Star Wars character of all time is Luke Skywalker, not Han Solo, not Darth Rendar, not Vader, not the, no, mm-hmm. It's, not Baby Yoda, it's Luke Skywalker. And I was telling my friend before the show, I said, listen, here, this is what has to happen. If they're going to do it, it better be a good scene. And I think I've mentioned it. I think I mentioned it to Nick on my podcast. Or I might've mentioned it to Jay after me and Nick did the podcast. that because me and Nick was a pure conversation. but it's one of those things where I'm like, the way Filoni handled the return of Alec Guinness's Obi-Wan was like perfect on Rebels.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's an animated show. Mm-hmm. And as much as I love Rogue One and as much as I like Tarkin, I feel like Princess Leia wasn't perfect. And I could tell that. So my whole thing going into this episode is if we see him either just recast, which I don't like, or CG better be pretty good. And I think the CG was pretty good.
Yeah. I think Tarkin's was the best.
Tarkin was the best.
There's some shots of
Tarkin that are great.
Yeah, absolutely great. Yeah.
But
I'll tell you from an animation standpoint, My issue with Tarkin is his body feels too animated and his head feels too animated when he talks. Mm. What they did here with Luke, they made him very stoic. He didn't move around too much, which was appreciated. But, I mean, maybe it's because my eyes were just completely glassed over. I thought it looked great.
Well, I watched it twice. I watched it during my lunch break just to make sure, because even... Even not even paying attention to it, I was worried I was going to get spoiled. So I was like, I got text messages.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Colleen was pretty ticked. But I was like, well, I got to do the show tonight and it's fine. I'll watch it again with you. But anyway, it's fine. We're going to be okay. We've raved.
Time will tell.
Time will tell. But I think kind of what made it work is, you know, Luke's, a hallway scene. He got to kind of be the cloaked kind of Jedi, mysterious Luke that we had at the beginning of Return of the Jedi. So you didn't have to worry about the CG of the face, but it still worked within the character in that we kind of seen him with the kind of cloaked.
And my only feeling about the CG and them going CG face with Luke was that, like many fans, I was like on the like, just get Sebastian Stan to do it. And, you know, I almost want an actor to so that they can be fluid and they can just do their thing. Like, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with separating the fact that like we have a different actor for this because of this reason and move on from it, you know, and that way we can have him moving around and we don't have to.
So. But I'm two ways of it. I get if Luke was going to be a main character in the show, you probably want to recast him. But if this is just kind of like our main, then I think this is nicer just because it allows Mark Hamill to still be the Luke from this point till the end, you know? And so if it's going to be that way, I think this was perfect in that.
Don't get me wrong. Like having that Luke moment for so many fans, I think like, yeah. That's why this episode is a 9.9 on IMDb still. It's like, you know, just having everything like Dark Troopers with Luke. Just Luke.
And then just like full on, I think Jim Watari said it here, peak Luke. Yeah. And I think that was one of the big complaints of the sequel trilogy is it's like old man Luke. Like we never got to see Jedi Luke, Return of the Jedi Luke.
Yeah, too much time had passed.
Exactly, but here you go, boom, full on taking out what 75,000 Dark Troopers. Like somehow they multiplied, but he took out all of them, and it was incredible. Like each kill was amazing. And at the very end, he just force crushes the Dark Trooper. Was insane.
Speaking of which, did they have a line of dialogue saying that they couldn't shut them down?
No, not that I heard.
I don't think so. Yeah. I were talking about they shut down the weapon systems.
Yeah, they shut down the weapon systems.
But I don't think they talked about
Yeah, they should have been able to shut down the...
They have no control over them once they were activated, I guess. So,
sure.
I mean, you know, the Moff Gideon is basically like, they're going to come through here, kill everybody except for me and the child. So he has control over them on some level. You know, they're not going to kill, you know, their clone master or whatever.
But what paid it off really well is the fight between the one Dark Trooper and Din Djarin and Mando and how difficult that was and like how outmatched he was and eventually was able to like overcome. That made the showdown between Luke and all of those Dark Troopers that more satisfying.
Yeah. Same, like me being such a Dark Forces fan from the 95 game. I mean, me and Ralph talked about this a little bit, like, because that's something that I was really going to be a stickler about if they didn't show them correctly. And they did. Like, I even liked it with Dr. Pershing saying, like, oh, these are phase threes, which I had said, like, these are phase threes, which you only see in the last level of the game. And that, you know, they're basically invincible. And then sure enough, they show like how many blasters did he take? How many he took fire? He took everything. You know, he took the staff through the neck, you know, to actually kill it. It's like, yes, that's what should happen, you know. And
I was waiting for that episode three moment where he takes the head off, but the droid still keeps coming out.
Yeah. That would have been cool too. Yeah.
Even the fire, even the flame coming through him was really cool. Like just having that shot, right? Like.
So all the shots were so cool with the Dark Troopers. Is it Peyton Reed. Like there was just so many just amazing shots of just glamour shots of the Dark Troopers. It was just like in their eyes coming through the steam, whatever. There's just so many like this was like the Dark Troopers moment on this. I mean, if not for Luke, this would have been Dark Troopers moment in the sun.
I would have. I wonder if they had physical puppets from like maybe the chest up because some of the close-up shots just looked real.
Mm-hmm. They did look if it was pure CG, it's incredible, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was.
Yeah. So let me ask you this because I, you know, all night or all week, I've been expecting Luke to show up, kind of wanted it to happen. When the scene.
I was thinking Mace Windu. I'm putting that out there.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I was spoiled on this. I wanted to mention this. I thought, like, the day before, like, yesterday, I'd seen an article that said, you know, something like the headline read, like, Disney accidentally leaks or spoils, like, some Star Wars fans because of... And I was just, like, stopped at that moment because I was so mad because the article showed an image of Mace Windu. And I was like, son of a, this is like the casket thing all over again. I'm getting spoiled on something, right? And so I just like tried to push it to the back of my mind, like, no, mm-hmm. no, whatever. And so then when the Jedi shows up and it's an X-Wing, I'm like, well, that's not Mace Windu.
Once right. I saw the camera, well, I was like, here's, that's Luke's X-Wing, that's Luke's X-Wing.
Here's the thing, though. Like, my brain could not allow me to accept that it was Luke.
Yeah.
I saw the single X-Wing, and they're like, one X-Wing?
Yeah.
So greatly acted with that line. Yeah, one X-Wing.
Acting.
I know. So I'm like, okay, they're setting us up for disappointment. It's not Luke. It's probably Trapper Wolf or one of his guys. Right. I'm like, and then you see the cloak and you see the green lightsaber and I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. it's not going to be Luke. It can't be Luke.
Really?
Just give me.
You didn't think, you still didn't think so?
I was like, how is this? I'm telling you, my brain couldn't accept that we were going to see Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I needed proof. I'm like a doubting Thomas. I'm like, I need to see that hilt. I need to see the lightsaber hilt.
But I saw that black glove.
That's what it is. The black glove.
The black glove is for me.
The deal.
And then I saw the black glove. I'm like, okay, the black glove, this is in shadow. I can't see the hilt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, does the other hand have a glove? I can't tell. Because everything was going so fast and in shadows. I was like, I need to know if this is Luke, but they're keeping it so well hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the glove off on the left hand, and I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, it's him. And then I started gearing up for, is it Sebastian Stan?
Exactly.
Is it Sebastian Stan? And me, is he going to pull the cloak off and it's going to be him? And so this whole time I'm like, my heart is racing, and I'm seriously like shaking and like tears streaming down my face, because it's like, okay, this is Luke Skywalker.
Yeah
that I knew when I was six. This mm-hmm. is, you know, I was 6 years old when Jedi came out.
Yep.
And he took the thing off and it was his face, and I'm like, oh my god, it's his face. And then he sounded yeah, thanks.
I'm passing.
It's actually not that bad right now. It's a little bit there, but it was a moment where I'm just like, I can't believe this is what I'm seeing,
mm-hmm.
and please don't linger on this too long. Let's get out of this scene. And then they go and freaking take the helmet off.
Yeah.
Oh,
with Grogu seeing his face for the first time.
When Grogu touches the helmet, that was the moment I verbally said it to my family as we're watching. I was like, take the helmet off. Like, I was just like,
yeah.
And then it happened, and I was like, oh my gosh, he's doing it. Like,
my brain was going so Luke crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think about that moment.
Yeah.
And he was just touching the mask, and I was like, okay.
Then he touches his face, and you're like your eyes are
then,
just like,
yeah. Then you get a third punch when R2 shows up.
I know.
Yeah. Done. I'm just done. Just done. Those three moments are like if you're going to go with CG Luke, you better throw some distractions at me so I'm not looking at it. Because from that point on, I'm only looking at R2-D2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, I'm only looking
at it. You could see Luke's head. It was all just, you know, torso down. You
yeah.
know? So you're like, okay, that's a good cover.
But just unreal. Like, I mean, I'm, you know, season one, I wasn't the hugest Mandalorian fan. I thought season two was fantastic.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. The last half of this episode is like
bonkers.
It's up there. It's like moments. There are moments that where the Disney gets right. One of my absolute favorite moments that Disney's done is how they handled Han Solo meeting Chewbacca for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's phenomenal, mm-hmm. and it gives me chills, and it makes me feel like I'm 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
This is another time this has happened.
Yeah,
and it's nuts. I think I cried at Force Awakens, because you know where she's going, and it's that long trek up the mountain, and you just know because Luke Skywalker. I love Luke Skywalker. I love
you're
great.
You're Luke Stan.
Yeah. I use that phrase all the time.
Going to the chat real quick, kind of catching up here. Let's see. Todd Smith, we got Luke, Boba Fett, a shuttle Tidarium, the best since 83. Can't disagree with that. Bullwinkle 80 says, when I saw the X-Wing, I knew then it was Luke. So did I. First X-Wing, but then on the security camera feed, I was like, oh, that's Luke's pattern. That's
Oh, and then with Grogu putting his hand on the screen, like that, it's just shorthand for saying that's who we called.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's and then you can see as soon as they say, you know, they say, oh, one X-Wing, good, we're saved. Mm-hmm. You can see the close shot up of Grogu, him perk up, like because he can sense the Force, and it's just like, you know, telltale right there.
I wanted to talk about like Moff Gideon real quick, and did he take some of Grogu's blood, or is he already Force sensitive? Because his face, as soon as the X-Wing shows up, drops, and his face is just like filled with fear. There's another moment where the Mandalorian has embested. Din has embested with the spear, and he, before the Mandalorian does anything, he says, "You're going to spare my life." There's certain things he knew, like he was in the holding cell, and he was like, "There are things I know," like basically, like he already shot off his whistling birds.
I could attribute that to just kind of just being very smart and kind of just being very.
I thought so too.
He could have tested it. He could have tested it on himself.
Yeah, on the second rewatch, I was like, I was a little bit more thinking because I thought this was a bit crackpotty as well. Like why would Moff Gideon have Force sensitivity? But there are a couple key clues in this episode that, like, on second watch, I'm like, he's aware of something. Like he has some. And that's where I thought
Darksaber, you know, he's wielding it. Like, right. He had a fight with it without chopping his hands off accidentally. So he's got that going for him. Let's see. Gap 15. Owen says, until I saw the cloak, I wasn't sure. Once I saw it green, because actually the first footage you see of the lightsaber is through the security camera and you can't see the color of the blade, which I thought
was
cool in terms of the reveal. And it's not till a few moments later that you see the green. Once I saw the green, I was like, oh, it's Luke. It's definitely Luke. But I didn't.
Well, a friend of mine.
Ezra's blade is green, the last one we saw. But didn't he give the lightsaber to Sabine, though, or something?
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Yep, he doesn't have a lightsaber. So
I can make one.
He's just alone in the woods, figuring things out. Him and Thrawn.
It's been at least 15 years. He could have built one.
It could have been if Ahsoka can build new sabers in between.
Yeah.
I think it's just 9 years. So.
Oh, so that's not enough time. It's definitely not enough time. Jim Watari, dark saber greater than Beskar Pike.
Now, I'm wondering, Jim, would you have rather have seen the armorer craft that spear into a sword? I think so. It would have been awesome.
Where is the armorer? And Another crackpotty theory is the armorer, one of these Mandalorians, because she has the horns. The only other Mandalorians that we've seen that have horns were in the service of Darth Maul.
I mean, it makes sense that, you know, because Death Watch did join with Maul, but her spikes are so small compared to the other ones that we've seen, because it is a cartoon, as Ralph would say, you know, but the horns are much bigger.
And it has been, you know, a good period of time.
Doesn't wear down. No, it's Beskar. It doesn't wear down. But I'm surprised we didn't see her. Well, so the sect that Din Djarin's a part of it's not First Watch. What is it? It's not Death Watch. Is it Death Watch, or they have another word?
Death Watch is who rescued him.
He rescued
him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, but they refer to what was on Nevarro as the tribe. So it's a little different than the other. The other ones are like clans. So you have your clan, which is basically like your family, and then you have your house. So like the example I used was Owen and Beru's is like is our clan here. Mm-hmm. And we're part of House Janjak. So, but then everything kind of can go underneath like one leader, which would be iTunes.
Gap 1501, who is Greg for those that know him, hashtag ignite the green finally happened. Agreed.
I agree.
And I thought we're Kyle Katarin, going against the dark troopers.
It would fit with his storyline.
Yeah, it would have.
But you know, how much stuff from the video games are going to enter into play, because they've used some things, but
they put a lot in this season, you know, with, especially from the Knights of the Old Republic and some of those things, which are interesting, you know, the Dark Troopers, you know, but I think if it would have been Kyle, I don't think there would have been a very small amount of people that would have known who he was and people like, who's this guy?
But what's great about the show is it doesn't matter if you know who they are or not.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not really alluding to stuff. And what's great about Star Wars is, like, back when Obi-Wan mentioned the Clone Wars in Star Wars 77, no one knew what that was. And that was fine. So we're getting that with...
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With the show, like, you're able to go back and look at other stuff if you want to, but you don't have to know who Bo-Katan is in order to enjoy the show. You just know.
Oh, sure. And they did a really great job of explaining a lot of the history of Mandalore and that final showdown, so that, you know, watchers that might be a little bit more like, oh, he picked up the Darksaber, you know? So, like, the Star Wars fans that are in the know have a little bit of that edge of, like, already knowing what's about.
I do want to talk about the whole Darksaber controversy. Well, within the show, I don't think it's controversy outside. But Ryan Moore did say, I don't think Moff Gideon is force sensitive. I think he progressively was putting the pieces together until he realized he was screwed.
That's what I thought too.
That's how I thought. He's smart. I feel like he's smart.
I'm just putting it out there because there's a few little things where you're like, wait, how would he know? How would he know this about Din? He even says when he enters the room, he says the bond between like he like almost sees the bond. It's not like
I can see the bond, and I'm not force sensitive.
I mean, sure, but that's the show. I'm just saying.
But it's the same thing. It's the same thing as, like, you know, when he captured him, he said, you know, you've gotten a lot better, you know, at doing that, you know, using the Force. Yeah. So he obviously knows Grogu better than we think he does.
True.
And then the fact that Grogu's probably always been mean, you know, or because of the hurt that he puts him under, he's probably never shown Gideon any kind of respect, but he can see the love between those two. Like, oh, wow, he actually responds to you way better than he ever did me.
Ralph, you had something you want to say?
Speaking of their bond, Grogu did not end up with the knob, the gear shift knob.
I know.
His belt. Yeah, that's weird. That's something they should have put in there, like him giving it as a parting gift. Yeah.
I totally thought, and even when they're like so far apart,
yeah,
I thought he would have just like held it up and he would like force out or something.
Yeah. Or just pulled it out of his,
I know.
Just forced it out of his pocket because it's in there. But I'm wondering if that's going to come into play in the future episodes. Like he's going to hold that as a reminder.
Yep.
Maybe incorporate it in his armor somehow or put it on his
forward. Do you see them being linked at all? I mean, obviously, like, the Mandalorian doesn't also have force powers, but could we see something where a vision appears to him, or that perhaps, and this is just, you know, ideas spitballing, we see somewhere in the season where you know, the Mandalorian is hurt or injured and Grogu's training, and then all of a sudden he's feeling it or he's reacting to something that the Mandalorian's going through. Just putting it out there as like a what if kind of crazy vibe. Mm-hmm. Like, how are they going to connect these two moving forward in the future? And without getting into like where is the show going, but still, like, you know, you got to figure, like, this isn't the end of Grogu. Like,
yeah.
Disney Plus wrote some big checks on the back of this creature, you're not just going to be like, peace out. This is the last time we see you.
I will say, like, yeah, they've got, because it's interesting, you know, the whole end was amazing. Luke going with Grogu, all this stuff. And there is, you know, 30 years down the road, we know there's kind of doesn't turn out so great for Luke's fledgling Jedi temple. So, you know, what happens to me then? And even then, like 30 years from now, Grogu's like, what, a 10-year-old relatively? So, like, Grogu at full powers is like 100 years from now, right? I would guess.
Yeah. 200?
Yeah, that was my only concern with Luke showing up, even though I loved it. It was the fact that it's like, oh, well, if Luke's showing up, will we see Grogu again? Because, like, how are they going to work that out? Because,
right,
like, I could have seen if it had been Mace Windu or any other Jedi, like, oh, he just didn't want the training, you know, or some other kind of excuse. But, like, with Luke, it's one of those, like, how are they going to separate those two? It's such a tricky thing.
That I think Star Trek, and then retcon that whole other thing, like, oh, that was an alternate universe.
I want to say that Luke takes Grogu to Dagobah, hands him off to Yaddle.
Okay, Yaddle and Yoda.
I mean, you can make fun of Yaddle all you want.
Nobody's a character. I mean,
but she's a character that exists, and I know Dave Filoni is familiar with her, and I know that I think in his hands, I think that would be the best way, because even though I try to avoid articles, I couldn't help but see Kylo Ren trending, and I know what that means, you know, and I want to say there's no way that Kylo Ren killed Baby Yoda at Luke's temple.
No.
Ben Solo is only 5 years old at this point.
Right. Speaking of, like, just Twitter, did you guys happen to see Mark Hamill's Twitter this morning?
No, what did he say?
It was the best one. It was non-spoiler, but enough to where you got the hint. Where he said, it was basically, "Is there anything good on TV today?" or something like that. You know,
that's awesome. Let me pull that up. Actually,
there was I want to say that there was another Jedi that, like, was in the comics or one of these other stories that was. Basically, their species was going extinct, and they were allowed to procreate. So, is
Yoda
that
Mundi?
Yes, is that what happened with Yoda and Yaddle?
Like, very, I mean, true.
That's like, yeah.
Like, Yoda's like, I would rather not. He's like, Yoda's like 800 years old. He's asexual at this point, and Yaddle's like, come on,
wait,
hold on. Did you see him fight Count Dooku?
Yeah,
and this was 10 years after Grogu was born.
Exactly.
Just saying, like maybe he's just gone his own way. He's just like, I've had enough relationships. I've had my heart broken. Yeah, I really don't.
Yoda's libido out of this. All right.
maybe he just divided. You know, like,
I like the budding thought.
Budding. Yeah.
Maybe Yaddle's the reason he has that walking stick.
Exactly.
Oh. Gross.
Great tweet by Mark Hamill. Seen anything good on TV lately? And right under there, we do have to call out the original person to play Boba Fett, Jeremy Bullock, passing away yesterday. Really, really sad news. I met him at some point in time. Really nice guy.
Really nice guy.
Nick just mentioned it on my podcast that he was hoping for a cameo on The Mandalorian.
I really was.
With Jeremy Bullock. Possibly unmasked as, you know, a bounty hunter or as a Mandalorian. It's a real bummer. I never got a chance to meet him. In fact, last August would have been my first chance to meet him.
Yeah. But, celebration. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Celebration got canceled.
I met him in 2007 in Knoxville. And that's, as far as I know, the last time he fully adorned his Boba Fett costume. Because there was a wedding, a Star Wars wedding theme at that convention, and he objected to the marriage dressed as Boba Fett, and then walked up to the groom, you know, and then took his helmet off, and it was just a classic moment. And I think most of the pictures that you see of him in the armor now as an older man is from that convention.
That's awesome.
But he, at that time, he was still perfectly mentally there, extremely friendly guy, talked to you about anything you want, just great guy. Yeah.
I will. I know he's worn it since then because my buddy that I worked with at Apple, he is a costumer. He had a full Boba Fett costume, and he loaned it to Jeremy. I think in 2016, and to do a photo shoot. And so it was his suit, and they had similar body profiles, so he wore his suit, which was really cool. But yeah, really, really sad for his passing. But what a way in this episode to give Boba Fett like talk about BD energy. Yeah. Tone it down in the post credit scene in
Bib.
Episode. Holy moly.
Bib got fat.
Was Bib Fortuna not sail barge? He was on the sail barge, right?
That's what I was saying, is like, was he not on the sail barge or somehow survived the sail barge exploding?
Listen, here's the thing. For the last 40 years, or just under 40 years, people have been saying, Boba Fett's alive, Boba Fett's alive, he survived, he survived. Yeah. No one even thought who else survived in that incident. And the answer is Bib Fortuna. Like, who would have thought? Dude, I love seeing Big Fat Big Fortuna sitting on the throne.
He was really trying to go for it. Like, he was just like, well, I'll get there some way. There's one way I can become a Hutt. if you read any of the like the extra,
I want to call this out. Just for the $3, Bib was jobbing out. Indeed.
So good.
A lot of the extra stories were like Tales from Jabba's Palace, like those that came out in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Just about everybody on that sail barge somehow survived. Except like seriously, straight up. You can read all of those stories and it's like, and then they lived.
But that thing was incinerated.
Yeah. There's like, nothing left. Yeah.
How did they live?
It was more explosive than the Death Star. Which I guess some of the Imperial employees are pretty ticked off about. So Kevin Smith was right in that classic dialogue from Clerk.
We got a callback to that a little bit.
I thought that was neat.
Did you guys hear McClunky?
Yes.
Ben Fortuna. I heard McClunky in the episode. Did he say it? I don't remember, dude. My eyes were glassed over by that point. Holy mackerel.
But yeah, I really dug. I was like, oh yeah, who is over the Hutt Empire? And it's Bib Fortuna.
So good.
It's
so good.
His major
look great.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was perfect. And then just Boba Fett, just, you know, sitting on the throne. I was like, yes. All right, let's go. I'm in.
That
let's
was awesome. Go.
When Boba Fett reached over to knock him over, I thought he was going to hit the Rancor pit and then toss him in.
Oh, that would
have been cool. Mm. I also thought Bib Fortuna, when I was going to say Mandalorian, when Boba Fett was standing there, I thought he was going to hit the button for the Rancor pit, right. But Boba Fett would have just been hovering because he knows.
Yep.
I felt it was kind of rude though, because like, you know, Bib was like all happy, like, hey. And then it's like, oh, just gonna shoot you dead.
I'm like, yes, man. Like,
oh, he got his armor back. Yeah. He got his armor back. He got his old gun back. Yeah. He's good to go. He's
well, Matt it out painted. These guys. Somehow he got it all painted in time.
He get a little touch up. It looks great. I like the black robes underneath. And yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah.
Nick, you were gonna say something.
Well, I was like, Matt and I had briefly discussed that. We were kind of clinging to a little bit of hope that he had turned over a new leaf. Like, hey, I crawled out of a Sarlacc pit. You know, the Jawas robbed me of the armor. Maybe the Sand People, like, because they're always the Native Americans, you know, like, maybe they instilled him with this appreciation of life. And they were like, no, that's not going to happen.
Hey, listen, Boba Fett's a bad dude.
Yeah.
Who's saying he's not taking over Jabba's palace? Right.
Totally.
To spread a force of good. You don't know.
You don't know.
It's a gray area.
I'm expecting a hive full of bounty hunters, though. You know, but you never know.
Are you guys familiar with Bosk?
Yeah, exactly. He was the MTV7. Back. If you're gonna get Bosk back, here's your chance.
Why would Bosk be in that mini rig? That's my bigger question. He'd be
apparently you don't watch this show. I've already explained why he's in it.
Well, do you want to?
Thanks, Matt.
Now?
Because all of my classic Kenner toys are in my Darth Vader, and this is my favorite character.
Oh, okay.
This is my favorite action figure of Bosk, and I don't have a lot of shelf space, so he's just going to... He used to be in the Cap 2? The Cap 2, I think? But, I mean, look at this, dude. You want to see that on a TV show, right?
I'm
not going to be picky.
I'm for all the mini rigs, for sure. Colleen says, I just rewatched when Luke first shows up, and I think Matt is right about Moth Gideon being Force sensitive.
Eileen, you are welcome on Owen and Bruce anytime.
She is standing for Matt, and it's unacceptable. Tree Shaker says Mando and the child are a dyad in the Force. Interesting. You're shaking your head, Nick. You agree with this?
That's kind of what I was thinking when you guys were talking about that earlier. Like, how, well, Matt, I think, brought it up. Like, how are we going to link these two together? And I still have Luke, you know, like, have him be with Luke. And I was like, well, mm-hmm. The only possible way to do it is to do, like, The Last Jedi and have a dyad where they're talking through the Force. But mm-hmm. I'm curious how that could really happen because, you know, Mando is not any kind of Force sensitive.
Exactly.
Okay, so here's my prediction for Chapter 17, Season 3, Episode mm-hmm. 1. It opens with Luke walking into a bar on Navarro with the child and says, he keeps eating all my stuff, and throws him in the Mando's lap.
I like it.
My wife literally thought at the end that there was going to be a book on Boba Fett that was being released. She was like, oh, they're promoting a book.
Bravo.
I was like, oh, sweet.
That'd be great, because then I would ignore it.
Okay, so let's talk about, like, what do you think that means? Is it a new series, or is season 3 just the next book?
It said December 2021, so I'm assuming
season 3 comes out too.
But exactly.
But we're in December 18th, so we still have a week before the end, or a week or two before the end of December. So as soon as Mando season 3 ends, we'll mm-hmm. pick up the next following week. The Book of Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. And then once that's done, maybe Obi-Wan is soon after that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we'll just start getting these Star Wars series once a week for a
while. I'm never going to stop podcasting. so you think it's going to pick right back up? I mean, I don't know. I assumed that it was its own series, but then when you look at The Mandalorian...
No, I think it's its own series.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it picks up
Mando season 3.
Mando season 3 stops, and then the next week the Book of Boba Fett starts up.
Yeah. But Mandalorian season 3 does not start the first episode until December 25th, 2021.
Oh.
See, that's what I was wondering, like December 2021.
Is it taking over for Mando?
No.
Are we for sure getting a season 3 of Mandalorian?
Yeah, I think it said 5 of Mando. Or something.
Because the way this episode ended, I think was the perfect series finale.
That's what I thought too. Yeah.
So,
but like the only thing I can see going forward with Mando season 3 is what I think some people don't want is a Grogu less show where it's all going to be about Bo-Katan and Mando kind of struggling it out and about the retaking of Mandalore, and then Mando being the leader of Mando, and it's like it's a cool story, but it's not Grogu.
I gotta be honest, dude. One of my favorite moments in this is when the Mandalorian said, "Then I yield."
Yeah,
it's just like, just take it. He doesn't want anything to do, which is great because this whole time we've known he's not a true Mandalorian, and he doesn't want to be.
Yeah, right.
He's becoming. For like this whole ride, he's been like has that sort of under like that chip on his shoulder that mm-hmm. he's not a real Mandalorian, and for him to be like, now that's not my purpose. My purpose now is for the kid to be safe.
But he's completed that journey, right?
Right.
Yeah. I do. Let me just go to the chat real quick, and we will talk about the whole Darksaber thing because I did want to kind of dig into that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Ryan Moore says Biff Fortuna's on-screen reign lasted 45 seconds.
It was a good 45 seconds though. good 45 seconds.
That was the only thing I was slightly spoiled on because, like, as the credits rolled. You know, we didn't get the artwork, and I was like, oh, that's so weird, you know? And so I'm watching the credits, and I'm looking for Luke Skywalker, because I'm like, okay, I want to know more about this Luke Skywalker business. And so as that's going, I pull up IMDb, and I'm scrolling through the cast, and I'm like, Bib Fortuna, was he in this? Like, what is that about?
Who played him?
Just at that moment, the bonus scene.
The twin sons.
Twin sons.
I knew there was a bonus credit scene. And again, it was when I decided I can't even look at the internet because I think it was on Instagram or something. And it was a picture of Grogu sitting in the Razor Crest. I was like, oh, there's going to be some cute scene with Mando and Grogu and the Razor Crest. Okay, whatever. So I was like, I know there's a post credit scene. And then once I saw the twin sons, I was like, oh, this is not what I thought it was.
Well, I knew there would be a post credit scene because the credits didn't turn all tiny and have that picture of Taika Waititi in the, where they try to get you to watch the next thing. Either it's Yoda in the Clone Wars with the credits over here, or it's Taika Waititi from the Disney Gallery with the credits over here. But oh man, I lost it.
Well, let's just keep going through the chat here, and then we'll catch up to our talk. Right. Adam Sledberg, bring on Dengar. I like Dengar. Right. They expand on him in Clone Wars, and I'm down with that, to be honest. More Dengar is fine by me.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I like this Din equals Aragon by the $3. Like, that. I know that's a Lord of the Rings reference, but the idea that Din is going to unite, you know, or bring all of
that'd be interesting.
So,
let's see. Colleen, in terms of Matt's standing of our standing of Matt, yes, Matt did send our family 2 Christmas cards.
This is a mistake.
Envelopes.
It was one was to go to the office of Jay and Jack, and then one was just the family.
Season 3 and 4 are filming back to back, according to Jim Watari. So,
that gets my heart going.
Excited. Greg says apparently they announced 9 shows the other day, and this was the 10th. That's true, because in the last week on Screen Geeks, Ralph did a 30-minute breakdown of everything announced at the Disney Investor Day, and there was like 75 Star Wars shows. Nay a mention of Boba Fett show. Go ahead, Ralph.
Can I say something? Okay, so I remembered what I wanted to ask.
Okay.
And then I just went to IMDb and looked it up. The question for me was to Matt, who's playing Boba Fett?
Yeah, I wouldn't have remembered.
Bib Fortuna. It's none other than Matthew Wood. Now, this is huge. Matthew Wood has pretty much taken over for Ben Burtt doing the sound design. For Lucasfilm.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Wood is also the voice of General Grievous.
Yep.
But more importantly, when they were shooting episode 1, The Phantom Menace, and needed to stick Bib Fortuna in the background of the shot of Jabba, they found that Matthew Wood was the right size for the costume and cast him in the role. Nice. So he's reprising his role as Bib Fortuna.
Cool.
That's great.
That is so awesome. This makes me so happy. I met Matthew Wood once at a party.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Matthew Wood follows VHS dude for some reason. Weird. I was so intimidated to talk to him that I got nervous, introduced myself, and I say, it's good to meet you, and then like left. But dude, I love Matthew Wood. I love that dude.
I love that. And I love that you're such a genuine soul, Ralph, that you got.
Like, listen, that's what Filoni and Favreau brought to the table. Like, they did not need Matthew Wood as Bib Fortuna, but they knew Star Wars enough to know that Matthew Wood has played that character once. Like, he wasn't the original in Return of the Jedi.
You're being very generous to say Favreau and Filoni, but let's be honest, that was Filoni being like, hey, you know he played Bib Fortuna, right?
I don't know. But that is so awesome that Matthew Wood is Bib Fortuna.
I base that off the gallery episode where like he's Filoni's talking about the stormtroopers or something, and Favreau's like, I don't know, that's too geeky for me. I don't know.
I do remember that.
All right, let's keep going here. Andy Wismar, the slightly bad news is that Mandalorian season 3 will return slightly later than normal, with Disney confirming release date is Christmas 2021. So
because there's no Star Wars movies.
Indeed. But you know what was so cool about watching this finale and just
Luke Skywalker?
With Luke Skywalker and R2-D2 with my family in our living room, our surround sound cranked up with the thump of the bass and everything. It was like
on your second viewing. Yeah, go ahead.
Ralph, come on. I'm trying to get my wife past this. It was just neat. It was sure it's not the same as going to the movies, and you know, Star Wars has kind of been Christmas the past however many years. It was kind of like as best as we could have that type of experience this weekend, which is, or yet today, which is really neat. I really dug that.
By the way, did any of you guys cry?
No.
I cry like a baby.
I think if Mando would have had just a single solitary tear coming down his cheek when he took the helmet off.
Yeah,
I'm talking about you, really?
He had tears.
I didn't see tears. If I would have seen a visible tear, I would have.
He had the tear in the
when he shaved his mustache
when Luke picked him up and was taking him away. So, yeah, I mean, it is weird that he, like, why would you shave if you're going to wear the thing? But maybe it's for comfort.
I think the helmet has razors in it.
Yeah, but no, I didn't cry.
It's the fans that keep him cool.
I'm done with you guys.
I cried. I readily admit.
I'm not gonna cry for Luke Skywalker.
It's like 1987 Luke Skywalker.
I get it, man. I get it. I was like, I had this conversation earlier today. Like, I was 4 years old. My first memory is Luke Skywalker getting a robotic hand and watching that scene in Empire Strikes Back. The reason why this is so memorable to me is that I was born with basically a birth defect.
A cold heart?
No, my right hand was born closed shut. And so I had a lot of surgeries throughout my childhood. And so when my mom turns to me in the theater,
it is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And says, maybe you'll have a hand like that one day. I was instantly like, yes, like, because when you're 4 years old and you watch something on screen, you don't know that that's not real.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. I'm like, that's real. And one day I'm going to have a hand like Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Now I wouldn't give up my hand because it's part of who I am.
And do you want to know my first Star Wars memory?
I'm just saying that, like, but, you know, if you're chiding me or chastising me for, like, not crying, like, I mean, yeah, I want you to cry right now. Like him, but I'm not.
Everybody in the chat wants you to cry.
I was more excited that he was slicing down robots. I was just like, and there is that moment where you're kind of like looking at a UFO where you're just like, am I seeing this? Is that Luke? Is this happening? So
I maintain that if I were to ever meet Mark Hamill in person.
You haven't met Mark yet?
Yeah,
I would cry.
How have you not met Mark
yet? Yeah.
He came to my bar mitzvah.
I don't know. Why did you not go to Celebration in Anaheim in 2015? They were all there.
That's probably why I didn't cry, is because he was at my
It was the second dark time, and I didn't really – I don't know. I don't know why. The tickets were expensive. And then once I – because back then, that was like Disney's first Celebration, I believe.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was as big a deal. But I mean.
Well, I remember, Nick, you shared pictures because you went to that one. I was like, It's empty. That sounds like so much fun.
It was. I had no problem other than the Mark Hamill line, which was you were at least waiting an hour or more. Other than that, everything was a breeze. You can meet everybody you want. I did not cry. Because he was so busy. Like, I mean, just, you know, like, I felt sorry for him. You know, because it's one of those where, like, standing up, sign, stand up, sign. You're like, and just like, hi, how are you? Like, I just looked at him and going, hi, Mr. Hamill. And I remember him just looking at me going like, oh, hi. Like, you know, because it was just, because I think you get so used to just like cattle coming through of just like arm around picture. You're like, yes. You're like, you know, and then actually for someone actually to speak to him, it kind of threw him off for a second. But.
So, I was gonna say to Matt though, I remember my first time seeing Empire Strikes Back. I had been like three or four, maybe four on a like a year they do like annual re-release. The thing I remember the most that I came out of that movie is that the Tauntaun was very much real and those guts were very much real creature guts, and it scared the crap out of me. I was so scared. I was scared by that, and I was scared by the incident in the cave. Those two things like scarred me. But I love
that. That was like childhood discussions. I remember my cousin saying, like, you know, that whole thing with like Luke Skywalker and being in Darth Vader's, like, that whole thing's baloney, man. Like baloney. Like,
baloney.
Yeah. I remember him saying baloney. I was like, whoa.
That's hilarious.
Back up. But you know, this is what language.
But it's funny, Matt, the first time I saw Empire, the thing I was most obsessed with too.
Pokemon cards?
No. Shut up. I can't hear from the show, but shut up. the hand thing too. And I was just, it just blew my mind. I was like, wait, you can have like a robot hand. Like if you lose your hand, you can have a robot hand. What? Yeah. That's amazing. And I was kind of a worry. I was incredibly afraid of everything that could possibly happen to me and getting my arm cut off or dying or whatever. It was just something that as a 5-year-old scared the crap out of me all the time. Like my own demise always scared me. I was like, well, if I had a robot hand, even if I lost a hand, I'd still have a hand, it'd be fine. And I just, it's funny.
But didn't you get excited that you would come back as a ghost and meet a Ghostbuster?
No, I have never believed in ghosts. I'm a huge fan of Ghostbusters, but I have no belief in ghosts whatsoever. Ever since I was a kid. That's why I think I always liked it. It never scared me because I've never believed in ghosts ever. But anywho. That's besides the point. Matt, you wanted to say something.
I wanted to say, like, before we get, you know, too into, like, other things. We got this awesome female fighting force. Like, that scene, you know, like,
yeah.
I trust me, my daughter took notice. She was like, they're all girls, you know, right. Like.
Yes. You see, like, my immediate thought, even though I did think that, too, was that, because if you look, you know, the Mandalorians are leading it. And as soon as the troopers show up, they just ditch them. They just like jump to the sides. And it's like, if I'm pulling up the rear guard and all of a sudden the two people in the front just go up to the side and I take a blaster bolt to the chest, I'm going to be mad. Like, what the hell?
Right. It worked because they had the flight packs so they could just kind of come in and,
and distract. That was cool.
But they were exposed on a bridge.
They were exposed. Yeah.
And then also I wanted to just talk about Bo-Katan real quick and how like frustrating it must have been for her. The entire episode, she's like, if anybody sees Moff getting it, he's mine. Nobody fights it, okay? And then like this Rue, who doesn't even know Mandalore, like he's basically mansplaining Mandalore to her. He shows up, kicks his butt, has the saber, walks in. She's just like, are you kidding me?
I said explicitly.
Right.
Getting in his mind.
There is only one thing. To me, I love that, like, looking back and rewatching it. But also, the Mandalorian, Din, you know, basically by his own words says, like, if you want to take back Mandalore, I'm in it. Just get me the kid. Like, I just want the kids to take it.
Yeah, yeah.
So by his very code, he is obligated now. That is his next mission. His
quest, yeah.
Yeah, right. That is his quest now.
So I did want to talk about the whole Darksaber thing, and I believe it was talked about in our chat, so I do want to pull it up.
Yeah,
so,
it was.
In Clone Wars, Rebels, Sabine wins it in combat, gets the Darksaber from Kree's, right?
She wins it. She does win it in a fight.
In combat.
Yeah.
And but she doesn't want to be the leader of Mandalore. And Tree Jigger brings up, and I immediately thought this. And again, if it's for this plot, whatever. I'm not gonna make that much think about it.
I think you go ahead, Jay.
But Tree Jigger said here, didn't Sabine give the saber to Bo?
She did. And yeah. Straight up give her.
Why is she acting so weird about accepting?
I think this sets up the potential to have a Purge movie or something like that, or you know, because I think that's what's gonna happen. Bo-Katan did not know that you had to do that, because if you look at who's the leader before that, it's her sister. It was more like a heretical thing.
Yeah.
And then so it could have been during the Purge. It could have just been right after she took command. Like you have all these Mandalorians still going like, why are you our leader? Like, you know, they're actually schooling her on the rules and all these things like that. So it makes the Purge easier when Moff Gideon shows up to say, you're not the leader. The Empire's the leader, you know, and you know, so many different things.
You also have the fact that, like, basically point. Sabine also helped liberate Mandalore. Mm-hmm. Like, that was one of the things that she does in that episode. And she doesn't give the saber over until Mandalore is liberated.
Mm-hmm.
It almost kind of plays out that way where, you know, it's like, let's get the Empire off of here. I freed them. I don't want to do this. Here you go. And she basically passes the baton.
I really like that take, Nick, in that maybe the reason Mandalore fell is because of the crisis of her taking the and she wasn't a true leader.
Right.
That's a really good point. That's a really good way to portray that. And that gives the whole context to why now there is going to be this whatever between Mando and Bo-Katan. But, you know, maybe they can do like a Rocky III kind of thing where they have, you know, they fight it out and she wins it from him. But it's a fight. She doesn't have to kill him. Maybe. I don't know.
Right.
But because I don't see Mando as being and you know, calling back, I think it was $3 that said it. The Din is Aragorn. I don't see him as the reluctant king. I just don't see that for him personally. But what is the rest of this panel think?
I fell asleep.
Fair enough.
I thought it was. I think it's interesting. I think that I mean, I'm not huge into the Darksaber, but I understand its importance. Mm-hmm. I kind of half. I know that there were. Luke was already taking out the Dark Troopers. I know the Dark Troopers were pounding down the door, but I really wanted the Mandalorian to just toss the saber to Gideon to make her just like knock his head off and just take it from him. Listen, that would make sense for any other show, but when you have Luke Skywalker outside your door, now's not the time to discuss it. So it's like, kind of like, okay, just let it happen. Just I'm here to see how this goes. I mean,
part of that weird part of my brain, as soon as, you know, the elevator doors close, whatever, you know, and Luke's gone, I wanted to go like, what's happening in that room right after that moment? Just like, awkward. Oh.
You know, like, can you imagine a conversation between Grogu and R2-D2?
Yeah.
I just, like, I want Luke to set Grogu on top of R2-D2 and sit him on there. And then 2021, get that as an ornament for my Christmas tree.
Brilliant. I love that. And I will say, I love how you had the original trilogy's Grogu, essentially R2-D2, and Grogu, like, meeting up.
That's Filoni. I guarantee you that's Filoni. Yeah. I bet you that scene did not have R2-D2 in it.
Yep.
And Filoni's like, we could get him in here. He's in the X-Wing. Even though he should be back in the X-Wing monitoring it.
Right. Bring him in.
So, yeah, that's I don't know about you guys. Ever since probably the last decade, I've always heard R2's beeping narrated by Samuel Jackson. And so as soon as R2 shows up, I'm hearing this beep going, I know you told me to stay at the ship, but here I am. Woo-hoo. You know, and then add in bad words everywhere. And then as soon as Grogu walks up, he like looks down and goes, "Aren't you a cute little MF-er?" Like, you know, like everybody just like shaking, like, you know.
Okay, so we all suspected Luke. I mean, did anyone ever once think that they would see R2-D2 on the show?
No, I did not. And the other thing that having R2-D2, and I get it, it's an X-Wing, we know it's Luke, everything says that it's Luke at this point, but even just the crazy fans, like, R2-D2's here, this isn't some evil clone Luke, this isn't like a fake Luke, right? You know, like, yeah, exactly, it's not Luke.
I know that reference.
Well, I do. It's a good point, because even in all of that, and you're right. Like, I was like, once I saw the X-Wing, I was like, oh, that's Luke. But it's so funny how, like, of course R2 is going to be in the X-Wing.
Yeah.
But at no point did it even hit me, and I was like, oh my god, there's R2-D2. like that one was a surprise, and it shouldn't have been a surprise, but it was a surprise, and a really neat one. And that, like, R2 is that kind of connective tissue between every piece of Star Wars ever. R2's there, so it's neat that at no point did I expect him, but he's there. And now, like, the Mandalorian almost officially but it just kind of even more so becomes canon, because R2-D2 has shown up in the story at some point in time.
Yeah, no, totally.
This is the first property from Star Wars without C-3PO. Well, I guess
he's gonna be.
No, I guess Solo. I guess Solo.
Yeah,
it's Solo. Solo
didn't have C-3PO.
Solo not have R2 or C-3PO.
Nope.
No.
Is his own.
I think in the train station, over the headphones, over the loudspeaker in the train station, I think someone mentioned C-3PO, but like using police code. So like Charlie, but I don't know.
At what point does it just not matter? Like, I can't hear what you're saying, but it's there.
I just love that now. I can think about Luke Skywalker heading to this light cruiser, and having a conversation with R2-D2 saying, "There's a distress call," letting R2 know everything, because we saw it. Yeah, we're going to meet an old friend, or we're going to the Dagobah system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's always talking to R2-D2 in his X-wing, and to hear, I want to hear that conversation, whether it's in a book or something, an audiobook version of this or something. I don't know what, but just to hear them talking about this, and R2 getting even more information from his, you know, however many years, like, at this point, 35 or so years of stories that he can tell. Like, this is now, the Mandalorian is now something in R2's databanks that he can tell C-3PO.
Absolutely.
That makes me happy. It really solidifies the canon for me. Yep. Like, I feel like having R2 know this information is what we need to know, because I feel like R2-D2 and C-3PO to a lesser extent has been in every single, he's aware of all of these goings on.
Exactly. C-3PO had his memory erased, so R2's the only one that has been through it and knows all of it.
So the fact that he knows this story now makes it so much more real to me.
I bet he doesn't show up on Night Rangers of the Galaxy or the Republic. I bet he doesn't show up on that show.
Sure. Yeah. I'm saying within the canonical Skywalker saga, if you're going
to
be
like, he was in Clone Wars, so we get to see it through his eyes. The whole point of the original Star Wars 77 was that Lucas said that R2 and 3PO are the audience's perspective. Right. It's what Kurosawa did in Hidden Fortress. There's two buffoon characters that you kind of follow throughout the whole movie. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of your anchor for Star Wars, and that's kind of how they're supposed to be. And when I don't see him in Solo, it's like, oh, it doesn't feel like real Star Wars, because they weren't there to see it. I somehow feel like R2-D2 transmitted his stories to Earth somehow, and we get to see them all.
I like that.
So for him to be in this story for me is such a huge deal. I feel like it made me be like, okay, I can accept this as real. No matter how much I hated a couple episodes in the first season, it doesn't matter. This is all part of Star Wars, and I love it.
I think the thing for me, what seeing R2-D2, Luke, and Grogu at the end and the door closing, is it really did feel like kind of the final part of this like story.
That's what Ralph said. It could have been the series finale.
And you had even messaged, you know, Nick, like, you know, is that the end?
It did. As soon as I saw it the first time, I was like, this feels like the end. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And something else we haven't mentioned is that the homages, there's two, in my opinion, in this film. Like, this end scene, though, to me felt like E.T., the end of E.T.
Yes.
As like kid there.
God, yes. Yeah. Thank you.
And just them standing there with the light. I fully expected Mando to be like, I'll be right here. Like, you know, and I was just like, oh my God. Even the theme, I mean, it wasn't, but it was so close. I was like, this is like E.T.
And maybe that's why I like jumped to this idea of like seeing this E.T. moment with them in season 3, where all of a sudden like one of them's being affected and the other one's being affected by something happening across the distance, you know, whether there it's a dyad in the Force or if it's just the fact that they're so connected. Their story was birthed together in the pilot. So that's why I feel like, you know, we can't, you know, and why would Disney be like, okay, kids, you're not going to get Baby Yoda, but you're going to get this old grizzled bounty hunter dude living in this building, you know, killing people, throwing him into like chains and stuff. It's gonna be great. We're gonna call it the Book of Boba Fett. You're gonna love it. It's going to have a little baby, though. It's a baby hut.
I hope it's a pop-up book.
We're trying to sell this
name,
baby.
Is his name Stinky? Stinky?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It worked great for the Clone Wars movie.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Yeah. You know.
No, I agree. Like I'm glad you caught it, 'cause I thought that in my head and I forgot to like even like write it down anywhere. But yeah, the E.T. like I even as it was Ludwig Göransson's score for Mandalorian, I think has been great. It's a fresh take, but it feels Star Wars. I know Ralph has talked about.
He finally used some Williams in this one.
But
he used the traditional Force theme when Luke arrived, and that's part of that hitting that nostalgia button. Mm-hmm. Like if you hold back those themes this whole time and then hit us with one,
yeah,
it's subconscious. It's going to hit you like a ton
and
of bricks.
The end music was like that too. The end music had that swell where it was just like, and here we go.
Right. And that's where it was like, again, what I love about it so far is very organic and, you know, recorders and very woodwindy and, you know, it fits perfect for The Mandalorian. But yeah, the end of this was like sweeping John Williams all the way. And I was just like to the E.T., like the end of E.T. is probably best as like peak John Williams in my opinion. Like the and I was just like, holy crap. That's a great call out. Great, great call out. I do want to just catch up on the chat a little bit. Colleen says, yes, I met Mark Hamill at a YouTube event in San Diego Comic-Con. It was Mark Hamill and Stan Lee interviewing each other and hung around and said hi to Mark Hamill. Afterwards, he signed my lanyard, so I have his signature. $3. I was scarred by seeing Tina Turneris.
Acid Queen. What?
Oh. Tina Turner as the
Tina Acid Turner as the Acid Queen and Tommy from 76.
Okay, all right.
he does it. He leaves spaces in. It's like jazz. You just have
to. James Rice, who I think is a friend of Ralph's, worked Disney at night, and you'll believe in ghosts. There's a story there.
I think I've talked about ghosts on my podcast.
We've talked about him on our other podcast, Ramblecast After Dark. We definitely talked about it on there.
I think, a lot of people are asking James to tell. Ryan Moore says they were all women. It wasn't an insincere moment, e.g. Endgame. I love the Endgame thing, but it was a little bit more over the head. But it was very subtle. It was just like these were four people, and they happened to be women. But I think that's even more powerful because it's not.
And it happened naturally. I mean, they had already built that relationship between Kara's
character. It wasn't a statement. It's just we noticed it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, and it was awesome. I mean, definitely my daughter noticed it, you know, and she and for those little girls out there, that's important. And, you know, having Ahsoka, having that moment for her. My daughter has been wearing, she has this Ahsoka, like, it's not an outfit, but it's actually a shirt that I bought for her through her universe. But it makes her look like Ahsoka. She's been carrying around Grogu all day. Like, it is, like, seriously, like, it is so cute, like, seeing her just, like, she was like, I'm taking Grogu to bed tonight. I was like, okay. Like, because it's mine.
There's a good scarf on her universe, too, it's Ahsoka's, headpiece, and you can wrap it around, and like, and you just leave it hanging. It looks exactly like her. You know,
look for that.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention Scott D. You had said like Bib Fortuna says McClunky. Yes, I heard him say McClunky. Yeah,
I heard it.
And Ralph would know. He's a McClunky expert.
This is the third time we've heard it in Star Wars.
James Rice says, I worked there 12 years, about half of those with Ralph. We would see shadows in areas that there was no light or anyone else around to cast a shadow. Spooky. $3 says, is Sabine dead? No, Sabine's not dead. I hope. No. I would assume she's going to be in this Ahsoka series whenever that
comes
out. Yeah, I would think so too. Yeah.
Let's see.
We might even see her in Mandalorian a couple times.
Yeah, I would hope so.
James offers Colleen to tell the stories. That's great. That's all you need to do is give Colleen more of this crap so I have to hear about it.
It's amazing to me. Okay, Jay, this is like the most fascinating thing to me is knowing you over the years. You love Ghostbusters. You're like the most diehard Ghostbusters fan I know. Your dad
like, even is like, he's seen ghosts. Mm-hmm. Colleen's into the paranormal. Everybody around you is basically
Jack didn't see ghosts.
He did.
It was light bouncing off his head. And
I believe Jack.
The dome.
I probably have Stockholm syndrome from Jack, but I believe him.
No, he shows me these videos from all the security cameras. It's like a bug flying in front of the lens. Sorry, it's not a thing, but it's fine. It's okay. Like, we can. I don't judge anybody if they don't believe. I just don't.
No. It's fascinating to me.
I love Ghostbusters so much, but yeah. I don't believe in ghosts. It's fine. Exactly. Okay. It's okay.
I've seen too many effects documentaries on Ghostbusters.
We don't know.
Not real.
We don't know the status, but we assume she's
not. She's alive. Why wouldn't she be alive?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like based on what we know, like, we saw her at the very end of Rebels, which she was in some post Return of the Jedi montage.
No one's told us she's dead.
Right.
Yeah. So we know that the body's still warm.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely. Tree Seeker says extra nerd points of the show makes for giving the Slave One the same weapons as in Battlefront 2. Cannons, seismic charges, and in this episode, ion blasts. And I think you mentioned that, Nick, about how accurate this was to the games that have come.
Yeah, right.
Let's see. Oh, Crazy Hank TV is in the house. So great.
He heard it.
He's heard it. He heard your joke. But I
for sure.
For sure. Let's see.
He just showed up. We're good.
Ryan Moore says, I made up a Disney ghost story that has persisted for decades. My manager made me tell people I made it up. It didn't help. So there you go. Ryan Moore, also a Disneyland employee, says it's made up.
Oh, huh. Okay.
I've seen a shadow.
Crazy Hank, who is my father, check out his channel if you haven't yet. Talks about TV and stuff like that. Everyone that stayed in our house has seen them, but the kid with the big melon, exactly. The kid with the most like real sense of the world has not seen them. The rest of you are a bunch of nincompoops. I'm kidding. I love you all. Tree Shaker says Jay ain't afraid of no ghosts. $3 says, I asked because I don't know because I didn't watch whatever she was in. Forgive me. Rebels, if you haven't watched Rebels, season one is, it takes a while, but season two, oh my God, end of season two, amazing.
It's up there as one of the, I would say, like, what, the 10 top three moments in all of Star Wars animated. I mean, like, you got the Clone Wars, which just ended, and that last four episodes is just some of the best storytelling and animation that you get.
Agreed.
And then, you know, the end of season two is just so incredible.
Yeah.
And personally, I love almost all of season four of Rebels. I'd say that there's might be one or two episodes that are just a little filler, but season four Rebels. I mean, emotionally,
let me just say, like, I'm not huge into the cartoons, but I have recommended Rebels on several occasions. I think Rebels is fantastic.
If there is a show that has made me cry, Ralph, I will tell you this, it is Rebels.
Really? And
yeah. But because it's something about the family. I love the family unit of Rebels and Kanan Ezra and what Ezra does and like the conversations they have. It's so father son to me that I really bonded with that. And
the shot of like 9-year-old Luke there's like one shot of Luke Skywalker in Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from Obi-Wan's perspective from far away, and it's just like that gets me. Like, Luke Skywalker's the dude.
Yeah, it's in the same episode with what you're talking about with Obi when and he's like, is he the chosen one? That's why you're here. And he's like, yes. And then like why Maul, I think, dies so calm. It's like, so we'll be revenged. You know, it's like it makes total sense.
Yeah, and that and again, like that whole episode, that whole arc of, you know, I mean, it's God since Clone Wars and end of episode one, like this vengeance to Obi-Wan, but it's really it for Maul's story arc. It's the being used by Palpatine and
Maul just gets better and better.
Exactly.
During
Maul's brother being killed by Palpatine and then realizing that he's powerless. And to your point, like when he's dying in Obi-Wan's hands and seeing that Luke's going to be the one that avenges us all for the tragedy.
This is what I've had this forever. The mm-hmm. Art of Star Wars. This is like peak dark time Ralph reading material. tons and tons of amazing Ralph McQuarrie artwork. And what's great is with Rebels, they take a lot of the unused stuff in this book and in the subsequent books, the unused Ralph McQuarrie stuff, and incorporate it into Rebels. And that's what hooked me onto Rebels. I'm like, okay, they're acknowledging stuff that I knew from when I was a kid mm-hmm. without it being so important and precious. It's mm-hmm. just, it just happens mm-hmm. to be there. And it honored like the dark time for me. It's like seeing the troop transport mm-hmm. in Rebels and also Mandalorian, where it's like, that's a thing from my childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, you know, was part of my headcanon when I was like 5 or 6. And now it's like a real thing. And so for any fans of for any Star Wars fans that have grown up with the majority of their life without Star Wars, like during the dark time, like 83 to 97, mm-hmm. Rebels is just for you.
Yeah.
When in the first episode, when the TIE fighters explode and they spark like they do in Star Wars 77, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. like it's like, oh my gosh, that hits me in the nostalgia spot. There's even points that remind me of like Star Wars, the arcade game for some reason. Mm-hmm. I think the same sparking effect.
Good call.
I mean, I cannot recommend Rebels enough.
And Freebuck says that sounds great. So I can watch Rebels without watching Clone Wars. That's how I actually watched it. I'd seen some Clone Wars episodes, but I hadn't watched it all the way through. And I said, all right, if I'm going to go back and watch it, I'm going to do the one that actually had less seasons. Probably more connected to the Rebels characters than I would be Clone Wars, because I wasn't a fan or as big a fan of prequels. So I watched
Filoni, Rebels. Filoni does the same thing, where if he references Clone Wars, it doesn't necessarily matter that you've seen those or not.
Exactly. Same with The Mandalorian. And that's the way, you know, that's the way it should be, is to have that all that connectivity where you can just dive into a show. I would even say that you can dive into the last 4 episodes of the Clone Wars. Now, watching all of Clone Wars would make it a lot better.
Yep.
But the last 4 episodes is like a movie that would be a companion to Revenge of the Sith. Mm-hmm. So if you like Revenge of the Sith, the last 4 episodes of the Clone Wars.
The Clone Wars is a lot to handle, especially like there's some episodes, especially in season 4 and some of those that are just, they're straight filler or like they're not really important to the overall arc of anything. Like the ones with Maul, the ones with Ahsoka, of course, are mm-hmm. really important. And those, you know, if you can make a list of just certain episodes from each season, like you probably get through it pretty quickly.
Lists are available online too. Like they'll let you know, like for me, like if you don't want to go through all 7 seasons of the Clone Wars, which are something like 25 episodes per season, with the exception, I think, the 7th season and the 6th season. But mm-hmm. if you want to like know more about the Clone Wars, but you don't have the time to spend binging all of them, mm-hmm. just look up lists. There's plenty of lists out there that let you know like what's important, what you want to know if you're interested in specific characters. You don't have to watch and consume all of Star Wars, but if you do want to do a deeper dive, but don't have the time, look up, there's lists, just go look them up.
And that's what's neat about Clone Wars is it does kind of like, especially later on, group like a story arc over 2 or 3 episodes. Mm-hmm. And so you can kind of just jump into those story arcs if you want to really
also
dig into
it. The entire season or the entire series isn't set up chronologically, so it doesn't really matter which order you watch them in, which is nice mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah,
the ones that to me are important chronologically, especially in the beginning, are the ones that are very clone centric, because mm-hmm. you see them. It's like in season 3, where you'll see one when they're in Kamino being trained.
Yes,
but if you watch that one first and then go in different in the orders chronologically, they make so much more sense. Because you see, like all these, going back to 99, which was the clone that went wrong. Like you see, like the history of that. Like so, some of those are really neat to watch in chronological order.
Yeah, no, I agree. There is something to the what's their crew? Is it Domino or I don't know what their that group of
I think that's right, Domino.
Yeah, that storyline's awesome. And it was at that point, and I do kind of see watching that outside or watching before, because that's the point that I really connected to all of the clones, like that story, and then 99, and then it was beautiful. It was incredible. But yeah, I do think that's something that really neat that Clone Wars did. I don't think Rebels is much more just like a chronological kind of story, but to me it was season two with Vader as the big bad, bringing back Ahsoka and having their final meetup, and then three and four you have Thrawn as an awesome badass. Made that show for me. All right, let's get to kind of wrapping up our thoughts here. Let's see. Boingle A says, no one has mentioned what a badass Jedi Luke was compared to 83 Luke. He reminded me of Rogue One Vader. You might be the very top of the hour, Bullwinkle. But yeah, we did kind of talk about that. But people have already been comparing all day today the Rogue One Vader scene and this Luke scene. They're mirrored in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
How do you all kind of rank the two? Some people say the reason why people love Rogue One so much is because of that Vader scene at the end. Mm-hmm. How does this rank for you all kind of in that scheme? And then you also, I think, end of Clone Wars, you had the amazing mall hallway.
The mall hallway scene, yeah.
Mallway. what's your kind of thoughts here? Who wants to go first? Nick, what do you got?
I love them both. I think it's because it's exactly what we've already kind of touched on, is that now we're seeing peak Luke, or like prime Luke as a Jedi.
Yeah.
Because the original trilogy is him learning. It's the entire audience learning of what is all this, and we're going on this adventure of learning what the Force is and all this, and it's him trying to really, especially after the end of Empire, trying to get his dad to become good. He's not really trying to defeat anybody. And it's the same way with Vader. Like, in Empire and in Return of the Jedi, Vader is not trying to kill anybody. He's just trying to bring Luke over to the dark side. Yep. So in both of these scenes, in Rogue One and in Mandalorian here, we're seeing them full, just, I'm going at it because I don't care. Right now I'm being full Sith, I'm being full Jedi to the best of my abilities. And that's what makes them both exciting.
Yeah, so. I agree 100%.
I liked the differences in their styles. Mm-hmm. I feel like Darth Vader was very cold and calculating as he went through, very precise. Luke had a more of a flow to him.
Mm-hmm.
It was more like a spinning dance, almost very Yoda-like, in the way he would do a lot of turns and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of
very precise, but very fluid movements. Like he felt like he was more one with the Force. Whereas Darth Vader was just like, this target, this guy up in the ceiling, get him. It was very cold and calculating. Mm-hmm. Whereas Luke had a real nice flow to his movements. Very, very, very like predetermined. Like that, I'm sure that choreography was very, very, it was studied and it was made sure it was done correctly. And they definitely wanted it to have a specific feel and say a certain thing while he was moving around. Cause I know Filoni is big into samurai and stuff. And they clearly had some shots in there that were reminiscent of Rogue One and that Vader scene. And they wanted to be like, okay, we saw how Vader did it and saw how intense it was. Let's make Luke's a little bit more, lack of a better word, like beautiful and more of a dancey sort of flow. Yeah, exactly. So I really appreciated that they you can tell that they really spent the time to make sure that they got Luke's fighting style right.
Yeah, I agree. Matt, you're up.
I don't know what else I can say that hasn't already been said. I mean, it was I think what's great about the Rogue One is that it's like one single shot. We're just in on that, you know, with the Luke, it was a little bit of more of that mystery and that reveal. So you're getting a little bit through the monitor. It's broken up a little bit until we get to that last hallway shot. I'm just glad we got so much. And by the way, he's not killing people. So this version of Luke, which is just somewhat still good, you know, like if we saw him like crushing someone to death that was like a human, you know, or you know, it brings to mind like, well, you know, he's killing life. And so this creates a perfect foil for him, you know, like, you know, slice through robots all day long. They're not aliens wearing weird, you know, next generation masks.
And this is the first time we've seen Luke, I believe. I have to rewatch The Last Jedi, but this is the first time we've seen Luke use his lightsaber with just one hand. When George Lucas originally did Star Wars, it was always a two-handed weapon.
Except for Vader and Empire, he was very much just playing with them. I think there was one-handed.
Yeah, Vader did one hand. Yeah.
And I think the one-handed was supposed to be like a sign of arrogance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it was interesting to see Luke use one hand. So that's another reason why I wasn't sure it was exactly Luke or not. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, they've done away with the two-handed for quite a while. I mean, like everything that happened in the prequels. I mean, George Lucas was basically like, "Well, I guess people wear underwear in space now." So, right. There's a little callback there. Man,
go ahead.
I liked it though. I think the Luke scene was awesome. You know, because Luke Skywalker. I need to watch it again. I only watched it the one time.
Oh wow!
I'm just gonna pop on the second half, and just watch that from the time the X-wing arrives until the end.
Let's just one last scene to talk about, and we'll close it out here. The opening scene, the person taunting. I'm blanking on
Cara Dune.
Cara Dune. And then her just blasting him in the face. Cool opening. I thought it set the tone for the episode.
Yeah, it did. I thought the guy was an idiot. I mean, who does that? I mean, really. I did love though after the blast.
The real world effects.
No, I like the lighting, the blue on Mando's helmet. It was just such a cool shot. I felt. And then what else about that scene?
They're twins.
I just liked Pershing's reaction because Pershing's reaction, like the blaster right by his ear, like would have blown out like that.
That was my one little nitpick about this episode was like, what happened to Pershing? Is that, you know, he's in the ship, and then once they land, it's like, where did he go? Like,
he's in Republic prison.
Not yet. But like,
so maybe Slave One.
That's did they just leave him in the Imperial shuttle, just chilling in there? Yeah,
but good call out. But Cara Dune was the one that wanted Moff Gideon alive, so I assume that we'll see more of him as well. So, because they want knowledge, which makes sense.
Yeah, 100%.
So, anyway, that's all I have. Why are you focusing the screen on me?
Give her camera angles. Gonna make it exciting. People watching at home. All right. Trish $3 says tied up. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's a good place to close it here for this special edition of Screen Geeks with Ralph and I, crossover with fantastic Star Wars podcasters, Dr. Beru and Aunt Owen, Nick and Matt from Owen and Beru's Barbecue. Now, this is not the end of their discussions. I believe there's more to come. I think, Nick, you're going back to Tennessee, so you won't have real internet. But Matt, I believe you will have sometimes.
I would like to have a discussion with Chris. I know he would like to definitely kind of finish up with his thoughts on the season. So,
he's our guest star.
He's our special. It's like it's Nick and I with special guests.
Yeah.
You know.
Where can people find Owen and Brew's Barbecue, Mr. Matt, Dr. Beru?
Well, I guess on iTunes, you can also go to the J and Jack Network and click on the link there, become a patron. That would help us out a little bit. you can also get some merch. So we have this new merch site.
You know, some really cool merch. I'm jealous. It looks great. I believe it's on jandjack.com, right? There's a link there somewhere.
Yes, there is. Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. We, at the beginning of each show, I mention a food. And our artist extraordinaire, Jacob Parr, like put together a nice little menu of all of the little call outs that we've had at the beginning of the shows there. It's, so all of the crazy
cool
foods.
It's a really cool hoodie. I believe Colleen's buying one. Ralph, this is not the end of this discussion for you. You, for your Patreon exclusive podcast, cover every single episode. And you have a really special guest for your finale. I don't know if you've announced that officially yet, but
I have.
Okay.
So tomorrow I'm recording with Michael Allred, who is a comic book legend, creator of one of my favorite characters, Madman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you see that? And he is a gigantic, gigantic Mandalorian fan. It's his favorite TV show of all time. He's gone and created his own full Mandalorian armor. Not only did he get a Grogu,
mm-hmm.
he has fitted it and jerry-rigged it with posable parts now. So he can fully pose his Grogu while he wears his full screen. It looks screen accurate Mandalorian outfit. He's a huge fan. He requested, when I asked him, I'm like, do you want to be on the show? He requested to be on the finale so that we can talk about the whole entire season.
Mm-hmm.
So you can check out patreon.com/casinoskunk, or it'll be available for free on YouTube the following week. And if you'd like to hear Nick and Matt on that show, Matt was on last season and Nick was on a couple weeks ago.
That's right. It was a good show.
So they're all there. Go to youtube.com/casinoskunk and you'll see their name in there too.
Yeah, because I remember Nick was on Ralph's show, and Ralph, I think, texted me right after you guys recorded that. Nick wasn't, you know, he was all right. He wasn't annoying.
That's not what those weren't the words. I'm like, I was like, I said, I don't think Nick said a single negative thing.
It's true.
It was a really good episode. Like, you were on for the Robert Rodriguez episode.
Because I was pleasantly surprised by that episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you keep the topics positive, I'll stay positive. If you let me go down that road to the dark side, I will totally go down that road.
I think the only negative bit you had was we didn't get enough Dark Trooper action.
That's what it was. I was really wanting to say
We all got on this episode, so we're good.
You got it tonight. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that is a good place to close it out. Thank you to our special guests, Matt and Nick. Go ahead, Ralph.
Jay's been on the show too, if you want to listen to me and him talk about it.
Nobody cares, but I have been at one point in time, even though I wasn't invited this season. It's fine. I'm not jealous. Certainly.
All new guests.
I know.
Every new chapter has a brand new guest.
It's fine. I'm not upset about it.
All right. Now that you have enjoyed that whole morsel of goodness, I mean, that was a lot of like talk about tears and soup. I want to thank everyone, specifically our guests on the show, Screen Geeks. Thank you for doing
thank
this.
You. Thank you for Thanks thank for you for us. Doing this crossover with it. It was the only way I could convince Ralph to do a show today was if you guys were a part of it. So thank you for doing this crossover.
It's the only way. It's actually the only time that I could get Nick because he is going away for the holidays. And,
right.
And what better way to celebrate the holidays than with a Star Wars holiday special?
Love it.
Am I right?
Of course. I still have never seen it, but of course.
Well, you're not.
You've not seen it?
I have.
Everyone had to watch it.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, dude. I want to MST3K this with you. I just want to like experience it with you.
Oh my god.
Take some heavy drugs. And
watch. Right? Seriously, can we do a live stream? Where we all watch it together.
Sign me up, Ralph. I'm.
Will Disney shut us down, or could we do it? Could we?
Will we get shut down? I don't know.
They shut us down when we did.
Lucasfilm has disavowed it, so
yeah, it's true.
Right, it's on YouTube everywhere. So
yeah,
except for that cartoon.
Except for the cartoon. God. Yeah.
I'm gonna make this happen. We gotta make this happen.
I'm down. Well, I'm down.
Look for future events with Owen and Bruce and Screen Geeks where we might do a crossover event. It's holiday special.
Love it.
Star Wars. It's so bad, you're like, why the hell am I watching this?
It's so bad, it's bad.
You cling to hope it's going to get better, and it never does.
Within 5 minutes, I subjected my wife to it, which, by the way, I did not get the cops called on me.
Was it the first 5 minutes?
It was the first 5 minutes. She said, how long is this?
Just the Wookiee chatter. At least another 15 minutes.
I was like, she was like, this is 2 hours long. She freaked out at that point. So
I don't blame her. I don't blame her.
We're still together.
Hey, there you go. True love.
And so is this podcast with an outro. So I want to let everybody know that they can send their email to us at theforceiswelldone@gmail.com. And I know we have an email waiting for us. We will cover that in a future podcast where Chris and I break down this, you know, because there's so much to talk about.
I wanted to cover this email, but Nick said no. So
it's true. Nick was very much against.
I didn't even know
we
had an email.
It's good. No, it's a good email, but I'm going to save it because this episode is already an hour and a half long. So, I want to thank some patrons that make this show possible, specifically, and they're all holiday special themed because it's the holidays, right? So special thanks to Lumpy Tack, Itchy Eckhart, Ed, what did I have written for you? I think I murdered your name. I'm sorry, Ed. What did I have? Ed the Wook? I can't read my handwriting. I'm jacking this. We'll just move on. Mala Maggie, Joe Akamina, and Galaxy Greg, because I have no other G names.
Gourmanda, the chef from the holiday special.
Oh, nice callback there, Ralph. Thanks for making me look like a rube.
Nicely done. That was great.
That's a great show, kids. This was one in a million. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
See y'all.
It's amazing that we were able to have the exact same conversation on our show and on your show.
I know. It was incredible.
We're professionals. That's why we can exactly the same each time.